Desher blends his love of Star Wars with a finely tuned appreciation for the bard, Mr. William Shakespeare. Ian has created the insanely original William Shakespeare's Star Wars trilogy and beyond Star Wars, Verily a New Hope, The Empire Striketh Back, The Jedi Doth Return, and now The Phantom of Menace, Star Wars, Part the First. Ian received his BA in music from Yale University, a Master of Divinity from Yale Divinity School, and a PhD in ethics from the Union Theological Seminary. He lives with his wife and two children in Portland, where he's the director of nonprofit marketing at Pivot Group LLC, a full-service marketing, research, and web agency. Ian, welcome to the Book Report.
Thank you so much.
First question, and it's an obvious one. How in the world, or in a galaxy far, far away, did you develop the idea to rewrite Star Wars as Shakespeare would have done?
Three things happened right around the same time, about 3 years ago. I watched the original trilogy with some good friends of mine from high school. And then not too long after that, I read Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, which is one of the first really popular mashups. And then just after finishing that book, went to the Oregon Shakespeare Festival with my family. And so I sort of had Star Wars and mashups and Shakespeare all bouncing around in my head, and was actually at the Shakespeare Festival when I had the idea, you know, wouldn't it be fun to rewrite Star Wars as though it were a play written by Shakespeare?
Okay. Well, you're not a literature major, so how did you master the specific challenges of writing in iambic pentameter?
That was definitely a challenge early on, you know, getting used to the language and sort of the rhythm of speech in iambic pentameter. And so what I found, though, is that over time, it's like a muscle. You know, the more you exercise it, the stronger it gets. So I got more used to the vocabulary, more used to sort of making things flow in verse. And so it was a challenge, but a fun one for sort of a nerd like me.
I'm wondering if your musical background helped with the rhythm of the writing.
You know, I think a bit, yeah. Certainly I had written some songs, and so when you're writing lyrics, you're trying to write in at least some kind of verse, and you're getting used to rhyme and that sort of thing. So definitely having a musical background didn't hurt.
Well, Star Wars, of course, has some of the most devoted fans of any literature around. How have they responded to the book?
Star Wars fans in general have been really warm and have really embraced the books. I think they like the fact that they're getting sort of new insight into their favorite characters, because with Shakespeare, you get these soliloquies and asides to the audience where, you know, characters are sort of explaining more about their motivation and how they're feeling and that sort of thing. And I think that, you know, sort of helps Star Wars fans say, oh, this isn't just a plain retelling. It really is sort of giving us something a little bit new.
Right. I was surprised to see that R2-D2 had a speaking part in the book in the asides. How have fans reacted to that?
You know, I think that was probably the most popular thing from the first book. It actually happened because when we first sent the manuscript off to Lucasfilm, I had written the first act, so basically the first fifth of the book, and they wrote back and said, you know, we like what you've done so far, but we want to see if you can have more fun with it. Go ahead and play around with the characters more and take it outside the bounds of the movie and make it your own. And so I went back and revised the first couple of scenes, in one of which has C-3PO and R2-D2 in it. And so I thought, you know, wouldn't it be fun if we actually gave R2 a speaking voice? He can't speak to other characters. He's not allowed to, but for whatever reason. But he can turn to the audience and explain how he's feeling, and then we sort of get to experience his snarky personality a little bit.
You know, speaking of which, I think we need to speak about Jar Jar Binks, who figures very prominently in this book. He's actually a pretty complex guy.
Yeah, so Jar Jar, you know, is one of the sort of most controversial characters in the Star Wars world, because although many people like him, even more people dislike him and sort of felt that he really hurt the movie The Phantom Menace, because he was just so silly and so dumb. And so revisiting that movie and retelling it, I wanted to do something different with Jar Jar so that people would basically reconsider him if they'd written him off. So what I did was, you know, he's still sort of like R2-D2. He still is, you know, speaking to other characters in this sort of dumb speech. He's acting like basically like a fool around them. But then in these asides to the audience, we find out that he is actually very aware of what he's doing, and he's sort of steering events the way that he wants them to go, so that he can unite his people, the Gungans, with the Naboo, who are the other people who share his planet, who have historically been at odds with each other. So I wanted to give him this very intentional, very wise sort of role that he doesn't have at all in the movie, as a way of sort of saying, you know, that there might be more to this guy than you think.
Well, back to George Lucas, might there be interest in ever filming the plays?
You know, I think anything's possible. Lucasfilm owns the copyright to the book, so they're the ones who would make the call about a movie or maybe staged versions or anything like that. So, you know, I certainly think it would be fun to see a live performance of it.
I think so, too. Have you heard anything from the actors who starred in the films, like Harrison Ford or Carrie Fisher?
Well, you know, it's funny. Star Wars Celebration, the big Star Wars conference or whatever you want to call it, extravaganza, just happened this past weekend. And Ian McDiarmid, who played Emperor Palpatine in the movies, he actually read a speech during his panel from one of my books and sort of commented a bit on it. That was just sort of amazing for me as both an author and a fan to see that happen. I also had a chance to meet Mark Hamill and give him a book, so hopefully he is taking a minute to look at that and read it.
We're speaking with Ian Desher on The Book Report. Amazed I am at how well you wrote my favorite, Yoda. Which characters presented the biggest writing challenges for you?
I think it was characters who are sort of larger than life in some way, and so you know you need to do well by them. And so Anakin Skywalker / Darth Vader, you know, making sure that you really represent the arc of that character well. Obi-Wan Kenobi, who is such an important, wise character. Certainly Yoda figuring out initially what I was going to do with his speech was something that that sort of was a challenge early on, and also a character like Emperor Palpatine, you know, who's so evil and sort of getting inside his head a bit. I think it's sort of those really sort of big, hefty Shakespearean characters.
Was there one Star Wars character who you identified with most closely?
Well, I always say that when I was a kid, I really wanted to be Han Solo, but my personality is much more C-3PO. I think I tend to be that sort of, you know, slightly worried, nervous sort of character, who's sort of the big nerd in the midst of cooler people.
Well, how has your fan base built since book one, Star Wars, Verily a New Hope?
The initial book had such a great reception, again, both from Star Wars fans and from theater people, and things have just sort of continued to build since then. People who hadn't heard of the books now are coming to hear of it. I hear from a lot of theater people who, you know, want to see these performed or want to perform them themselves, and so it's just, you know, it's continued to grow and sort of be this this rising tide, and it's been so humbling for me as an author to sort of be embraced by so many people.
I'm wondering, what do you think of when you see high school editions of Shakespearean plays with dialogue that has been modernized, written in idiomatic English?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, part of me wonders, you know, what's the point? And I don't mean that flippantly, but I mean, Shakespeare wrote wonderful stories, just stories unto themselves, and so to retell the stories makes a lot of sense. But for me, you know, half of the point of Shakespeare is his language, and delving into the beauty of his language and his wordplay and all of that. And yes, it can be confusing, and so I do totally understand why modern adaptations, modernized adaptations, I understand why they're popular and why they're done, because it does at least sort of help kids get into the story of Shakespeare, but without sort of making adding the additional challenge of language. But for me, I think you lose something in that also, because you're not getting the the same richness that you do in reading Shakespeare's actual language.
I couldn't agree more. How would you convince a kid who loves Star Wars but is very hesitant about embracing Shakespeare to pick up one of your books?
Well, I would say give it a try because I think my books can be understood and not be too threatening, because yes, I am using some of Shakespeare's language, but it's not so much so that you can't understand it, especially if you're familiar with the stories. And I think I would also encourage them to try reading it out loud because Shakespeare was meant to be performed, and I think that's true with my quasi-attempt at Shakespeare also, that it's in hearing it out loud and getting into the speeches and that sort of thing that I think you really end up having fun with it.
Right. And plus, as you say, you're asides with characters that you're not used to hearing from.
Right. Exactly. So you sort of get to know more about these characters that you already thought you knew well.
So what are you working on now?
Well, I'm working on a couple of other projects in verse because I really enjoy writing in verse and not a ton of people are doing it right now. So, things like that. And also working on a novel centered around Shakespearean characters. So we'll see what happens.
And not another Star Wars book?
Well, that's always possible. The new movie is coming out, Episode 7, and there is a possibility that at some point we'll see a Shakespearean version of that as well.
All right. Well, final thoughts about The Phantom of Menace?
I hope people enjoy it. It's the first of the prequel series, and the rest of the trilogy comes out this year. The Clone Army attacketh in July, and the Tragedy of the Sith's Revenge in September.
Well, Ian, thanks so much for joining us today.
Great, thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.